5, 4, 3, 2,
countdown.
1.
Hey! Welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates Podcast. I am your host, Ken Jones. This is my co-host,
Morgan Jones.
And this is episode uno, siete, cuatro.
Trophies.
Give me that award. Feeling big and ghoulish. Probably go do some knifings later this evening. We'll see.
We definitely needed to. We got to take a picture before we're done.
Yeah. So
that can correlate what that means.
Yes, yes. Mikel is on the loose. Before we jump into the stuffs, we're going to do our shout outs. We're going to shout out Hungry.
I'm sorry. This is going to be a night.
Also, I said Hungry and not Hungary.
Yeah, you definitely
the UK.
Like you are.
Being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Shout out to Mableton and San Diego for being our top listening cities this week outside of Portland, Oregon. Shout out to our top listener this week, knocking Freaky Outy from the top spot.
He was Warren so close.
Garden. Hey.
Shout out Warren Garden.
Yeah, shout out to Warren Garden. I was about to say him, but I gendered that, yeah. And it wasn't gendered to begin with. You know? Maybe because it had a G in it. And then I was like,
oh, wow.
G in silence. And then
wow.
I was like, lasagna. And I was like, cheesy, who get cheese? That's a lot of men who get cheese because.
Wow.
Shout out to our sponsor, The Nine Brand. Check out the latest and the greatest at vixbrand.co. Don't let your browser mess it up. That autocorrect will try to put an M at the end of that. You don't want it. Follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double up those Aunt Andres.
You better.
Hello. 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 So something I did today, TikTok made me do it. I saw this joint that took some cookie dough that you buy, flatten a piece out, then take some white chocolate, like a white chocolate bar, lay that thing there, take another piece of flatten it, put that on top so you're making yourself a nice little cookie
sandwich.
With a nice, a little sandwich with a nice white chocolate filling, and then throw that thing in the air fryer.
Okay. That's not what
Yeah. So I don't do crazy sweets or anything like that, but that one was standing out. It was looking too tasty, and I tried it. The first go at it, great. I picked it up. So the way that my kitchen is set up, my air fryer is on a counter. What's right on that same side on the floor is a trash can. Typically, trash can lid always down. Today, trash can lid open. I go to grab the parchment paper up out of that air fryer. Said cookie slides right off and into the trash can. And you know what a fresh, warm cookie of that size does? It
melts on itself.
Yes. So straight into the trash can, like not even having to clean up, like it straight into the trash can.
Yikes.
Mixed in with all the shenanigans. So
yeah.
Hit it with a round two. Ran it back, flawless victory.
Wow.
I'm a fan.
Okay, how long do you air fry it for?
I was getting tricky with it. I was looking to see what the instructions had. Then I got that little cheat sheet for the air fryer now. And I couldn't re-find the video that I came across originally. So I had to like try to recall from memory. And I ended up settling on 400 degrees. Let me take it back. The first time that I did it at 325 for 15 minutes and it wasn't ready to go. So Then on the redo, so after that, on that first cookie that fell in the trash, I ran it back at 350 for another like 6 or 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then when I did the second one, I was like, okay, I'm gonna throw that on 400 and did it at 12 minutes. And okay. I did have to end up turning it around. Once I pulled it out, it cooled down. I turned it around because the underside was just a little bit doughy. Threw it back in there for like 3 minutes on that 400 and it was good to go.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
So normally cookies are like 350, 375, but depending on the cookie, right? That could be a bake time of 8 or 15 or, you know.
Also, 20. And these joints were probably like 6 to 8 inches.
You know, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This wasn't a little like, you know, yeah, this wasn't a small situation. I was trying, because the way they did it, it took up the whole, like their joint expanded to the whole square on the basket. And I was like, okay, no, I didn't need to go crazy like that.
Right.
But yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But after it cooled down, like it's, oof, I'm like, okay, this is a cool little tricky way to get kids like charged up. If you want kids to be bad at somebody else's house, ooh, give them that before you send them back.
Good point. So the white chocolate didn't make it too sweet. It was still a cup.
No, I was wondering that. And I use cookies and cream because I like, you know, what's an interesting thing that I'm noticing? I don't run out and be just doing trends, but almost anytime I come across something that tells you that I've came across off of a TikTok video or a Reels video that's usually pulled from TikTok.
They're all TikToks at this
point. It's a item that when I go to the store, it's out. Like when I came across those stuffed jumbo huge pasta shells, I went to like 4 different stores before I could find them. They were out that was the only thing that was out. Same thing with the white chocolate bars, because I was just going to get a straight white chocolate joint out of there. So I ended up just going with the cookies and cream joint. But yeah, I did have that same thought of like, would this be too? And of course, I don't do sweets like that, so I wouldn't sit and just guzzle down. But as far as having something to break off a piece of and munch on right quick, definitely a hit.
Tight.
Yeah, which I'm a fan of that.
For the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but sweets don't do well in my house. They will sit here until they are
not
okay anymore. And we had a birthday last week, and I made Brianna a berry crisp.
Yes.
And I was like, this is silly. I should have just made like the smallest little Pyrex thing, because this is just going to sit here. And boy, was I wrong.
Oh. Oh.
They ate that whole thing.
And shouts you saw to the chef. I was going to say, I was there for the part of the process until he got thrown into that oven.
Ate the whole thing. What you missed is when I threw it in the oven and then you left, I was like, this looks a little too light. Like I like to use brown sugar when I bake. I don't like to use light brown sugar. I like to use dark brown sugar, not light brown sugar.
There's not a difference in the flavor?
Not a difference in the flavor as much as texture. So there's more moisture in the dark brown sugar because there's more molasses. So it melts better. Like it gets gooier, and light brown sugar will just like dust all over the place. Like,
gotcha.
And not a fan.
Okay.
So it wasn't looking melty enough for me. Like it was like, this is not going to do what I wanted to do. So I just melted some butter and threw it on top and then left that in there. It was chef's kiss.
You just said molasses, and that made me think back to Jan Cones. He used to have a grow operation and would use molasses during the flowering session, mixing it in with and that would help to sweeten and bulk up those, or I guess dense, add some density. Yeah, that's the only context I've ever had molasses or seen molasses in like a regular rotation, although I don't bake, so that's why I don't see it. But yeah, so yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I mean, things. I'm gonna tell you about right quick, it's spooky season. So you know, it's spooky season out here. By the time y'all listen, the day before was that good old Hallows Eve. But so I've been saying for years, since Karma lived here, we talked about our friendly ghost that exists in this space. And which to this day,
that space.
Yeah. The, you know, the light that always gets cut on, that there's no way to do it except. Yeah. So with that, today, go down, getting clothes, putting clothes from the washer to the dryer. And when I go into the laundry room, the dryer just like starts. Now I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, maybe it was already going when I walked through here.
Yeah, like I just missed it. I didn't.
Yeah. But then the thing said, whatever display was on there was basically like that it was done. No, it said done. And so I'm like, wait, but there wasn't anything in the dryer before, because I started and then I opened the dryer, and
I'd like to
and mind you, I'm saying dryer and it's plural. It's two dryers next to each other.
But I think I just want to make sure that I understand the timeline in detail. There's nothing in this dryer when you walk in.
No.
When you walk in, there is no dryer going until
boom, I leave out and then I come back in. Okay. So I put my clothes in the washer, no dryer action.
Right.
Leave out, come back.
Dryer
starts. I open the dryer starts going.
And there's nothing in that dryer.
Both of them.
Both dryers started?
Both dryers. And so I laughed about it, because I'm like, this is hilarious. I was like, also, if I was hella spooky and scary, I'd probably be like, yeah, you know, exactly. In one of those moments. But I also was like, this is how the scary movies start. It's just overlooking. It's just overlooking weird coincidences.
That's it. And it's normally when Black people are like, no, wait, no, don't overlook that coincidence.
Yeah.
And then somehow they die.
So y'all stay tuned.
You gotta wear the Michael mask for like 4 days. You know, like it can't just be tonight, because it'll scare them off. I think this is terrifying. Also, can you not talk at all? I'm
trying to talk through this mask makes me feel like I'm in protective identity. What is it when you get
witness protection?
Witness protection.
Yeah. It's a whole you got the voice change.
Yeah. Like, it get different.
Yeah.
A little moisture also.
The funniest part about this to me is that, you know, the Michael Myers mask is just like white, you know, like it's not a skin color, it's white. and then you're like brown eyes just peeking through.
That's what I like about this mask, being that it's not a white skin tone.
Yeah.
It's just white. So it works for any of us.
Yeah. Anybody.
And then I knew it was the timing, because I happened to go get the jumpsuit and only had one size, and it was my size, which I said, look at divine. The Lord.
Yeah.
Won't he? He will. He did.
Won't he will. Yes.
God did. Oh, yes, he did. Okay.
No, we got God did in this one. I want to like Colin so much more, and I just can't. Like, there's.
For real?
It's not like I don't like Colin or what he, you know, does. Whatever. I don't know. But there's a corn factor that is just a little too big for me, you know? And so it's
hard to imagine him in a serious moment. Like everything seems performative, and that's just that overly done. Yeah. It's just like those people that are like too nice. Like there is a thing as far as being too nice, where it's like, this feels so forced.
Yeah.
Like there's no way. And it's that, to where it just feels like a forced, yeah, my bad. Like nothing just comes across as a normal conversation. It's like you're being fake deep or fake animated. And it just, yeah, that can get up under the skins.
Yo, and ain't nothing like fake deep, but we can fake deep and deep fakes, you know, nothing like it.
You know, it's you know, because it's not so much that, you know, someone is stupid. It's just, you know, the wisdom is chasing them, but they're faster.
They're running from the wisdom. They did the race from the wisdom.
The race. That's
tight. Yeah. That is super tight. Yeah. So I did want to just throw an announcement out there before we get too deep into it. And I will probably try and say this announcement at the end of this show, too, because we're doing live stuff and we haven't gotten to do live stuff in a very long time.
Outside.
You and I are both.
T.Y.
We're both doing multiple things for the Black Podcast Fest. Presented by The Numbers FM. And hey. So I just wanted to say out loud, you know, that this is November 4th, 5th, and 6th. I think that's next weekend. Yeah, or the weekend. Once you hear this, friends.
That's this coming weekend.
This coming weekend. Friday night is really just a mixer. Come through, meet the moderators, you know, come say hi. But Saturday, November 5th. We have a full slate. Things start at 11. A panel. I will be hosting a panel about Black women in politics, Oregon politics, part two. Sunday, we, the Unrefined Sophisticates, will be on at 3. So come holla at us.
Trace.
And then 4:30 to 6, Kenneth and Rather here will be moderating Black Sexual Health. Can't wait for that one.
Wiggling weenies.
I will be heckling you the entire time as I get ready.
Lord.
Sitting right in the front. And then from 6 to 7:30, I will be hosting along with AJ McCrary, Massage Noir, Patriarchy, and the Manosphere. So
massage and what?
Massage Noir. Misogyny of Black women, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Noir.
I heard that Black. Way wrong. I was like, massage and noir.
Okay. No. No. No.
Live action role playing, baby.
But also, have you never heard that word?
No.
Okay.
I have not. And
I'm not about to beat you up about
it. I'm gonna use it in multiple sentences. The last time I said there was a thing I had sent a while ago to and forwarded. It was on the gram and it was a meme of like people, actors and actresses, like we be mixing up.
Yes.
Because they look alike. And then the one I was like, I don't want to tell, because, and the amount of people that I sent that to that did exactly what I told them, why I was scared of even saying something and being, this just goes back to, this is why I just,
that's why I wasn't going to do it, y'all.
You know? But they was really getting on me.
Can we say who it was, though? Because it's, Kim Whitley.
Yes.
Jack A. Harris.
Yeah. They're interchangeable.
Or is her last name Harry? Jack A. Harry. Okay. Y'all, we about to have a screen, man, and it's going to be crazy. So just wait. There's not going to be a whole lot of and let me Googles. It's about to get crazy.
You know?
But it is. It's Harry. Jack A. Harry.
Yes.
And Kim Whitley.
I definitely have mixed them up multiple times.
Your entire life.
Entire.
Well, one was on 227 and one wasn't, is the only.
That's tight. Okay.
And I got no beef for you because for real, I see it. I get it. I see it. it's there. But I did laugh real hard when you when you were like, yeah, I've never known which one was which. So
this is me coming here humble.
Don't hurt me.
I'm sorry, mama. Well, one of the things that I want to touch on right quick, we all love music. We listen to it. And there's music a lot of times, and I'll speak specifically to the rap genre of, you know, rappers' careers outside of your few, like a Drake who has managed to just keep being at the level he's at, Jay-Z, you know, a Nas, that are able to not reinvent themselves, but just stay current in a way that works and doesn't feel forced or trying to be young.
Although I think Drake be trying to be young, but that's okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Especially with certain genres of rap, like trap rap, right? Like T.I. comes from that era. Mm-hmm. Young Jeezy, Gucci. I feel like Gucci manages to do a good job of for that lane, where, you know, popping in. But there was an artist that I just mentioned, Young Jeezy, who had dropped in The Snow, where he dropped TM 101, Thug Motivation 101, dropped in 2005.
Whoa.
Right.
Yikes.
2005. And when that dropped, for the people that knew me at that time, they knew Cans Caprice. They know that that stereo system in there, one of my favorite bragging points was that my bass is on -9. Your mind is being blown right now, and my bass isn't even on the positives. So again, an obnoxious stereo. 2005. I was a whopping 21.
I was about to say 12.
So, or not? I said 21. Mm-hmm. I don't know numbers now. Yes, 21. But I was 20 actually when that dropped, going on 21. Okay. That's what I was trying to get out. But with that, when that dropped, that was legitimately the soundtrack of my next 2 years.
Yeah. I think a lot that of was next 2 years too. And
yeah.
Not just people that a lot of people. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. And I feel like you know, for me, a lot of it was because of things I was into at that time. It was like this just synced up really well. And a lot of trips, a lot of driving, and just identifying and it being like my mom liked. I remember my mom loving his bar. I got 6 cell phones. Who want to call me, dog? Because my mom had like 4 cell phones at that time, and that was like he was speaking to her
soul right there. Yeah, directly to her.
And so, and with that, you know, in the coming years, you know, other projects came out, were cool. And then it just kind of, you know, there were some things in there that I wasn't feeling. And then it just became Jeezy. That's what it was.
When you say that, does that mean that you didn't listen to the new albums when they
would? Yeah, I would check them out. But the replayability for me just wasn't. There was a feeling that came with, I want to say, on top of the production, the style, all those things combined at the perfect time. Before trap music was really something that you just got a lot of.
Yeah.
Those 808s and the way in which he was, he was one of the first people to have the ad-libs in the way that he did, where his ad-libs were at a high level where they are almost as loud as the vocals, and having that, yeah, I was saying yeah before Usher. Like... But real
quick, I just want to say that I've been holding my tongue because all I wanted to say is like top tier ad libs, like, and has features his own top.
And it wasn't like he was crazy bars. Like he would say things that were so simple, but it just, it worked.
It is.
I remember driving, listening to it in my Caprice the first time. And he had this song and he has a line that says, smoke, disrespecting Chevy, still riding on spokes. And I felt, I felt something about that. Cause in that moment, I'm in a Chevy Caprice on 22 inch, 150 wire spokes, which on the West Coast, that is still creme de la creme.
It is.
But he was talking, rich people stuff. I wasn't there. So with that, still not there just for anybody to check. But the but that it's just so many moments that are tied into, you know, all the elements that came together at that time to make that such a powerful, impactful album to me. So fast forward to last week. He's been on an interview tour, which I had noticed and wasn't necessarily checking on the interviews and stuff like that. He's done a lot, you know, over these few years, over the past few years and stuff. But the thing is that DJ Drama, known in these circles for his Gangsta Grills, these are typically elite mixtape projects. Mm-hmm. Almost like this is what I feel like helped put Wayne into the statuses that he was at, and also helped put DJ Drama in the statuses that he's at. When I seen that this was going to be a Gangsta Grills project, then I saw the cover out, the album art, which was like the Bat logo. It was a pile to Dark City Sky, Dark City look. There's this pile of snow, and instead of the Batman logo in the air, if you remember back then, it was like the snowman head with the X over the.
Yes.
That's what's in the sky, as if he was being summoned from the Coke cave.
Was he?
This, when I tell you, so this project comes on. It was download day. It came out on last Friday. I didn't get it until Saturday because I needed to be in the vehicle for this. It's one of those things I need to hear. I need to hear it the way it needs to be hearted. With that, I'm in the Tahoe. I got the Tahoe back going, doing his thing. Hooked my stereo and stuff up in there. So it's just full on ba-doom, ba-doom, boom, 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 booms. I press play on track number one. It takes like it's a, you know, Dreams and Nightmares, how it's just that it's just you're waiting for the bass to drop and he's just talking. It's DJ Drop. So it's some run it backs.
We're going to build up is what they call it.
You're just and it's getting past. It's getting like my body.
Y'all gotta see his shoulders is moving.
Like, I know this is about to do what I need this to do. It's like a minute and something. Mm. When that bass line drops in, if you could have seen the way that I smiled, like, only way I can put it is that there is somebody that is an addict, and let's say a cigarette smoker that couldn't have a cigarette all day, they finally are able to light up and take that first drag after a stressful day.
Full bone relief.
Relief. And it didn't stop. It wasn't like this is just the intro song.
Yo!
I went to the socials and just Jeezy has restored the feeling.
That's it.
It's back. It's the feel without feeling outdated. It's, man, I'm telling you. And so, for anybody listening that's going to check it out, make sure you have some ba-boom-pa booms. If you only got headphones, put on something with a little bass response in it. You have to have the ba-boom-pa
booms. Make sure the headphones are right.
Huh?
Yeah. I said make sure the headphones are right.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't just be, you know, any old headphone.
I'm happy.
Now I'm gonna listen.
I
kind of quit listening to Jeezy, like checking for him, but it wasn't because I didn't like him anymore or anything. It was just like two projects in a row that I was like, eh.
Yeah.
And
same.
So my attention span just went elsewhere, and I wasn't checking for him anymore. Not in any other way then I don't know what I moved on to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've always loved Jeezy because it, number one, when he just went from, it was like a the perfect seamless transition from young Jeezy to Jeezy.
Yeah.
And it was an appropriate time. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he just did it when he became this age. You know?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It was an appropriate time. It all, I don't know. I like him. I respect what he got going on.
And the fact that like I was having this talk a little bit ago about like him and Rick Ross, to me, got the hardest Jay-Z collaborations. Like I can put just a mix of those three. Anytime that connection happens, next level.
Yo, I don't know what it is, but hard agree. I don't know what it is, but that.
And he had him. Oh, that's another thing. I guess you say he was on. He had Jay-Z on his first project. As a non-rapper, as somebody that did not rap like that when he started.
And from the South, which is
yes,
New York people really have a feeling yes. about those things. I mean, I'm not saying Jay-Z did, but you know, as a
yeah.
culture of hip hop yes. in New York, it's like, yeah, not y'all.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a very big deal.
Yeah.
And man, that's a real observation. Like that, so true. Maybe going yeah, hard.
I tried to make a playlist on that. I went and I pulled a few songs. I didn't finish it, but I definitely put it together just a mix of that because it just those trace.
I like
something it. About it.
I like it a lot.
I love it. I want to marry it. From measuring cocaine to measures on the ballot. Take us off.
I really want, like, I wish we had more people that watch this live so that, like, so I could laugh with someone because. Yeah. Like, of course you're laughing and you know, but it's you. So you don't even really realize how funny it is. You know what I mean? Like I need someone to laugh with.
We're going to get it.
But that was a perfect transition. What do we call it? Segway King around here. That's who you are. Stand in your truth.
I will.
Yeah. It's about to be voting time. We're real close. We've talked about this the last 2 weeks. We're not going to beat you over the head with a whole bunch more, but we are going to talk to you about it right now because it's time. When do we vote? November 8th? Is that the day? Do you know that we're on a audio situation? My man is just shaking his head yes to me.
Yes, it is the 8th.
Okay.
Of November of 2022.
Nice. Thank you. So yeah, this will be our last one before then. Is that right? That people will hear. So
yeah.
There are a few measures that people I think are a little confusing and
okay.
purposely people have, you know, muddied the waters, as they say. But I know that how do I say this? There are so many different things happening in Oregon that all of these politicians make feel very unique. Like they're definitely making Portland sound, and you know, national news didn't help. Like we do get national attention for you know, two different things. Either we're the, you know, most progressive and liberal white city, or we're on fire. So
the whites.
So we get this idea that we are unique and all of the things that are happening here and the multiple crises are just here and it's just our local government. And the current local government, which many of them were elected right before COVID hit. So your performance, it's hard to, you know, say if that person has done really well.
Anything.
But, you know, we're not unique. We are absolutely zero unique. This is all the multiple crises are happening everywhere. And it's not just local government failure. It's federal government's failure. And both of those things, though, spent a lot of resources and relief money in the wrong places.
Man.
And the fact that, you know, I know multiple people, including myself, who was unable to even apply for certain assistance or relief, right? Because my ID expired during COVID. And the DMV during lockdown is what I should say. And that's not even quarantine. That's the word. Sorry. During quarantine, I had.
Didn't you have to go somewhere crazy far to get your joint? Was that you or Max?
That wasn't me. I had to wait.
Oh, that was Max.
Super long.
Okay.
So, one, you couldn't go. There were.
You said right in the lockdown. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. They did appointments. And in June, they were booked out and until November.
Booked and busy.
So I had to wait. I couldn't apply for certain things, and that's locally. I wasn't trying to apply for anything nationally.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, hey, March to June, do you really think that I'm not a resident anymore? You know, like, it was.
Which is wild how that works in
general. So where I'm trying to go with this really quickly is that there were people that were, you know, have businesses, have or needed assistance, you know, like needed that relief and were turned away for things like not being able to have a current ID. Even though in that time frame, it's like, obviously this just happened. This is not, you know, anyway. You know how many people were able to scam local and federal government just incredibly easily? Like, number one, they were giving out money to billion-dollar companies.
That's what I was going to say. The big money's the people that wasn't.
There were things that could have been done. Those companies with liquid money. You know, like, this isn't a valuation. This is, y'all got cash in the bank.
In the bank.
And you're just like, free money, run it to me. And somehow they're at the top of the list, right?
In the millions.
So they're getting money. And then there's like so many stories right now of, you know, one person being able to get multiple millions because they just created businesses all on one day, you know, like, that's a failure. That's a local and a federal failure. And because those resources flew out the window to the wrong people and the wrong entities, many working class people and poor people were literally left in the dark. And there are people who will talk to you about what, you know, stimulus checks we received. And I will kindly remind you, we are still in a pandemic and it's 2022.
Pandemonium. So,
a whole pandemonium. Where has the assistance been for people that are still in a position where they're not working or they're unable to work? What about the people who have gotten sick and are unable to, don't have the lung capacity
anymore? Have you tried foreign aid?
I don't even know.
Have you tried to be a foreigner in need of aid in a foreign country?
Be a foreigner here trying to get.
No. Okay, you should move to a different country.
No, maybe. That's the only way to fix it, honestly. Maybe. Like, people need help. And what we did was give corporations help. And a lot of people were able to scam hundreds of millions of dollars while people starved and while people didn't, they were evicted, while they no longer had what they were, you know, what they had. And if you lose your job and you're living in your car, which is a very common thing for lots of working people, because then you're working again and you're still living in your car, because nothing works like I just got my paycheck and now I'm in an apartment. Like, that's not how it goes.
At all.
They're like, not even close. So what's next? If you have a car payment, you lose your car, you know, and people are, I don't know how we, well, I do know, but it makes me very sad that we are really quick to just be like, that's your own moral failure. So you should have worked harder or, you know, saved money. And if you didn't have lattes every day, you would have had money for a panoramic. Like, there are just so many things that just don't make sense. I'm sorry. I don't mean to drag this on. What I want to say is all of the crises that we're in right now in every single one of these cities, it is not just here. And it's not just big cities. It's not just coastal cities. Everybody is going through this. That's where this stems from immediately. It is not necessarily your, and some of your local government did. Some of it, yes. You know, if you're in Wisconsin, if you're in, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, yeah, your local and federal representatives are, don't care about you. So, yeah.
Talk about it.
But a lot of it wasn't just like a city council person. You know, these are systems that have created crises. And the way that this election cycle is going is as if current government, and this is across the board, any opponent or, of an incumbent is like, they've allowed, you know, skyrocketing crime, and they've allowed houselessness, and they've allowed this, this, and that. And they're not criminalizing these things. You have to know the source of these things for you to actually be able to make a good decision. And
yes,
our government, local and federal, failed during the pandemic. And this is the fallout of that. So this isn't one individual governor or mayor or city council person, or like, it's not that. This is big scale. Like, you got to take a step back and understand that your city's not unique. Portlanders, maybe this is not unique. This is everywhere. Yes.
And the thing I want to throw in there too, for people, as humans, let me not say humans, as Western culture, we're about who do we blame for a thing.
That too.
And so
that finger.
That's, yeah. And so, like, you think about the stages of grief and, you know, things like that, like, it goes into, you want to be able to put, it's easier to direct it at a person. And so, like, and we know that this is just the psychology of the humans in this space. So when they throw a face up and then say these things are because this person, it's easy to feel like, okay, yeah, oh, that person,
so that's why it's happening.
That's who, and therefore you're putting it on a person instead of the system as a whole. This is, I mean, this is even, you think of, like, again, and speaking in the space of like the grief thing, where it could be, you know, if there's a, you know, you have a family member and they're going through some medical issues and this doctor couldn't save them at this final step. Like, there was a lot of things like on the way to that, but the easiest thing is to blame the doctor as far as not being able to, that's a face, that's a part, that's somebody that you can point the finger at.
Yeah.
And that's, what happens a lot of times, and I understand that the, you know, these campaigns where right now, anybody that's watching TV or even if you're on YouTube, any of that, you're getting inundated right now with a lot of ads for these local elections. And every time I watch, it's like they'll use a name and a person and a face as if, excuse me, that person is actually individually responsible for all of those things.
Right.
And as Morg just was pointing out, this is much deeper, broader, wider than any of that. Any of that.
It's systems.
Yes. That have been in play way before that person stepped into that role that they're in.
And have been working just as hard to get you to blame individuals instead of the system that it is. So, you know, it's that absolute misdirection. I will spend more time, more energy, more money on getting you to not look at me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to
marketing.
Recognize me, right?
It's in so, marketing, yeah. Right? It's just marketing, right? We think of auto insurance. I'm going to say a majority of people think Geico. That's going to be in their top
three for sure.
Yeah. And so because of that, there's this assumption that Geico must be one of the best. Exacto mundo.
Right.
If you looked at these numbers and broke this down, no, but the marketing is great because it had enough dollars and put the dollars towards marketing. So it's in your face the same way that we look in election seasons where those little front yard
yard signs
get put up. If we keep seeing a person's name, then a lot of times people are going to default to, oh, they must be supported by the peoples.
Yeah.
Many peoples. And then it pops up on a ballot. Yeah, it popped up on a ballot and it's like, oh, okay, that's the name that everybody's rocking with. And that doesn't mean that's marketing.
Yep.
A lot of times you can go into, especially in like these rural areas, nobody asks could they put that in their front yard. They're just driving around throwing that stuff out there because these yards are so big before like the driveway is going down a quarter mile before you're even getting to the house. They're throwing this stuff up and it just becomes name recognition. And regardless if we want to admit it or not, the things that we see a lot, we think that that's what is going on. That plays through everywhere. We think of our algorithms as far as being online. That little bubble that you're actually in is not what everybody's thinking about and doing. It's just that's what you're seeing because the algorithm keeps putting that in your face.
Yep.
This isn't necessarily that. It's the discussion on a large scale. So anyways, just want to give those little pointers out in this conversation.
Yeah, it is absolutely important for you to... you know, this is not a partisan statement. It's important for you to be an informed voter. And I understand why people feel like they are, you know, a vote doesn't matter. That is also marketing. And so be an informed voter. You don't have to be the most vocal. You don't have to be quiet. Like there's no person that falls outside of needing to be an informed voter.
Oh, she just gave y'all some bars. That's a sound bite. That was hard.
I like that. Keep talking about that.
You know.
I have a thing that you hit me the other day.
A wee wee?
Was it yesterday that you left me a voice note? Sent me a voice note.
Yes.
And what was funny, there was a thing I noted.
Okay.
And that was, I guess maybe I shouldn't jump ahead.
Nope. Do you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the voice note was regarding a situation that you had never witnessed before. Because I'm going to let you set that part up. What I noted today, or yesterday and today, when hearing you talk about it again, both times you characterized what was said as crazy, and I can't wait.
Okay.
To see where this goes, I guess.
Okay.
That characterization both times was like noted.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I'll give that too. So I'm I'm getting home after a long day of training, and you know, it's little misty outside, a little chilly. I sit in my car for a second, and then I'm like, I want to check the mail. So leave out of my car, and there's a car parked right by the mailbox area, the windows down, lights on and stuff. Walking up, I thought maybe Uber, something like that. Didn't seem like Uber. I didn't see any signage once I got there, but a conversation going on speaker, and I can hear like conversation as I'm pulling up to the mailbox. Get to the mailbox, and I overhear, I really need to get my mental, and I keep, if it was mental illness or mental health, no, mental health in check, because he's going to leave me. And was like, no, he's going to leave me if I don't get this together.
Gotta get it together.
Yeah. And for me, I've never heard the words, right? And I know we're in 2022, and there's a lot of terminology we used to use versus what we use now. But I'm just going to keep it where it's at in terms of what we'd be like, you're acting crazy, like you're being crazy right now.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So that's where the, in my processing this and putting this in layman's terms, was like hearing basically, I keep acting crazy and he's about to dip if I don't get this together.
Got it.
And I heard that and was like, what?
Almost a heart attack.
This was sick, because in real life, you tell your partner, you're being crazy right now. You're acting crazy. You're doing a lot, whatever breakdown. That is never met with, rarely met with, you're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to be fair, if someone is, they're not going to recognize that.
Very valid.
You know,
exactly.
But
yeah.
Later on.
I mean, and I have, like what you're saying is 100%. I've even made the line of anybody that's a thing doesn't.
Right.
They're normal. And not normal, that's a wrong word. They are being them. And so yes, whatever that is. So from that, I was like,
of that not being something that you are familiar with.
There you go.
And it doesn't seem to happen much.
Yeah. So I was sitting in the course, I hit like, oh, this is, oh my. But then I realized in the way that was talking and being said, I'm like, oh no, she was on the phone with a friend.
Yeah.
That was definitely a friend. Which then led me to think about how conversations between friends go versus the partner. And that led me to even in the space of that may never make it to him, not even as a apology of I was tripping. But in that moment, the full transparency, you're talking to your friend with there's no judgment on this. So it's just giving it. And for me to hear that as the outsider of like, because as a man walking this world, it's rare that there's been a situation where I feel like somebody is like, I'm confused by the response, reaction, actions in general, and address that. And it's like, you're right. I've not experienced that really, or to come back and just lay that out in such a, like, I'm about to mess this up. I've not experienced that. Not saying that that doesn't happen, but as a heterosexual man in this world who dates women, I've not had a woman come back and give that type of, regardless of what it was. There's usually different ways of how the apologies happen.
Okay. I was going to say, does anybody apologize to you?
Yeah, I've definitely had apologies, but I feel like in general of my Can Jones experience, it's like, oh, I get the overly nice you. That's the apology. Cool. So you recognized in there, or it's something in the way of you. What's that?
No. You go. You finish, and then I'll ask.
You know, in the eye, it's an explanation of why, versus just being like, I was in the wrong. There was something going on with me that was this, this, and this. I've not experienced that. Okay. Yeah. And not to say it doesn't exist and it's not or not something that happens regularly for everybody else, but for me, no. So hearing that was just like, what? But so take away all of that. It just made me think a little bit further into like how many conversations on both sides go where there is a conversation between a friend that you're able to actually communicate with freely, and how you're recognizing where you're at with things. And as myself, when we talked about this years ago, I don't know if it was on the pod or me and you in general, I remember saying about how one of the things I've done in my past relationships of just like addressing certain stuff and then being like, okay, my bad, whatever it was, like almost not apologizing in a way of like, I'm so sorry for this thing, but saying like trying to get it to be cool.
Done.
And then realizing like, wait, no, because in your mind, I'm continuously the one wrong, and realize that backfires, you know what I'm saying? So like, and I don't know if we talked about it on here or in person, but that's one of the things that recognizing of, nah, I can't do the thing where, and again, I'm not the host, I'm sorry for, not that, but in the way of, okay, cool, I see where I could have done this way. There you go. That's a better way of putting it. Trying to take responsibility for my response reaction to a thing and pulling that back, right? But I've seen where that's been flipped into, it must be me, all these. And it's like, no, this is because your way of just being nice or whatever act that gets thrown out as a, sorry for 2004.
I was going to say, this is just that we don't actually apologize in those situations. It's just like, I made you breakfast and now I brought you lunch. And then did it, you know, like showering you with the niceness and
this things. Love bombing.
It's love bombing. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so then that's so, but it's just like, I think there's something to that place of, the conversation that we have with our friends, and again, not everybody, because I know there's people listening. It's like, I don't ever, we get that. Cool.
And but you are able to talk to your partner about absolutely about everything that's ever
happened. And the way that it runs through your brain. Yeah. But there is something to that. But I think there's an important element to that, because it's getting it off your chest in a certain way, unfiltered way, and then being able to take that then and turn that into, whew. But even outside of the apology and all that, it's more of the recognition.
I was going to say, for anything that you're talking about right now, takes self-reflection.
Yeah.
So you, not you, but like you hear this information, somebody is, you know, taking responsibility for something. And if that makes you feel like I'm always right, you need to pause, right? Like there's self-reflection that has to happen in each of these moments in order for communication to continue to go. So like I have overly apologized. I am certainly I am quick to be like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Like, and I have a group of women friends, who shout out to Kate, 'cause she is really good with this. She'll be like, don't say sorry for that. Why are you apologizing for that? You didn't actually do anything wrong. Don't apologize.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I need that. I need to hear it, because that's just, you know, whatever my conditioning is to be like, oh no, number one, I'm sure it was my fault.
Yeah.
And then number two, like, whoa, I didn't, that wasn't the intent. Right. So I will apologize.
You know, can I just say, Reku, what's interesting about that is like the flip side of that, in a way in which I've done it, is more so like, I'm not as pressed about this. And I also would like to get the
move forward.
Thrusting. I just want the thrust to still be not like held back. So and I don't want thrust withheld. And a lot of times it's like, this ain't that serious to me to be. So it's like, look, here's where my bad for coming at it this way. This is my interpretation of it. And this is the response there. Da-da-da. Because nobody won upset sex.
And this is some news you can use.
Straight up and down.
Well, this has been great.
Yes.
Gotta go.
We're going to get ourselves up out of here. I do want y'all to know, and if y'all hear this and it's like, what? And you got input, please check in with us about it.
For real.
Because my favorite
thing is getting the DMs from people that actually listen to the show.
Yeah, yeah. Please. But yeah, hit us if you got, you know, just stances on it. Or thoughts or ideas, additions. But thank y'all for rocking with us for another episode of this Unrefined Sophia's the Cage. My lemon water been popping.
Yo, you're a whole new man.
Mm. Well, make sure you follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticus. Follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like and subscribe and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. And with that said,
it's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Yeah, baby. It's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Y'all know what time. Come on, man. Get your bags, man. Call that bell. I'm walking.